The following is from Ghost Coast Studios, the world's first and only podcast network.
No, I didn't. I thought all of my sexual awakenings were behind me until I saw this gold dust thing. There's something, there's a dragon I can chase right there.
There's always a taller mountain.
And on that note, dogs at the ready, welcome back to Monday Night Fake Fights, where I, Garrett Taylor, she, they, am doing a rewatch of the Monday Night Wars and making it your problem. No sad David Lynch reference this week. Well, we'll leave that in the past, even though I'm still hurting. This week's esteemed victims are...
Nate, he, him, and yeah. Tyler, he, they.
I got a tag team again. We're building a whole division.
We're kind of like the American males of podcasting.
I am so happy y'all showed up for an American males episode.
We were hooting and hollering at the American males.
You know, every episode we do is the American males episode.
Yeah, so. Pretty much.
Yeah, exactly. So for folks that aren't aware, I was lucky enough to be a guest on the American males podcast, Hate Speech, with these two fine young gentlemen. And we spent a long time talking about all the ways in which Mark Calaway sucks.
Yeah. We're not fans of The Taker.
No, we are not. But y'all were wonderful hosts, and I was like, I should return that favor. And apparently, my usual question upon who y'all are is, what, if any, is your relationship to wrestling? But I know, because it's my fault.
Yeah, I was a sweet wrestling virgin until about a few weeks ago when you sauntered into my DMs and forced the Undertaker upon me.
Hey, first of all, you sauntered into my DMs. Thank you very much.
I was just trying to give you agency over me. I tend to do that.
Oh, no. Where everyone owns up to their shit. That being said, I'm owning up to my shit. I did give you the Undertaker.
You did, yeah.
One of them was the Taker, one of them was the Giver. We don't know who's who.
Oh, God, I imagine Mark Calaway just looking real mad, starting to tape his fist. Like, would you just call me? Queer, Mark. Queer.
Yeah.
Deal with it.
Yeah. So, I had no history with wrestling. Like, it was always sort of tangentially near me and my Juggalo past. But I would always, like, look at The Rock and not understand. I was like, what is a people's elbow? They say these, like, what is happening here? I don't understand anything. He's cooking? I had nothing.
But you did have a relationship. I was about to say, Tyler, I've known you for ages.
Uh-huh.
You've had a relationship with the Ultimate Warrior. I know this.
Well, yeah, I like a guy that shakes rope and gets power, but I have not seen a match.
Okay.
I had the thing you put on the pencil. It was the Ultimate Warrior. You put a pen, he was like a troll you put on the end of a pencil. I had that as the Ultimate Warrior. So I was like, I like this guy. He's got neon colors. He looks kind of weird. But I think, if I had to guess, he's probably a monster. Like,
we'll get there.
They're just excited for my history of wrestling, which is zero.
Yes.
I've played one wrestling video game, which is the NES WWE game. It was awful. It's one of the worst NES games I've played, actually. I traded in a pristine copy of... Oh, dang, what was the... It doesn't matter. A very good video game for this.
Yeah.
And I got... Because, like, the kid knew. He was just like... He knew that, like, it was dog shit. So he was like, no, this game's awesome, actually. You should trade me for this. And
he knew what he was doing to you. He was like, I got this guy, hook, line, and sinker.
You got rid of your golden cartridge, Legends of Zelda.
It was like the Square racing game. It doesn't matter. But... Yeah, long story short is the first, like, full match of wrestling I watched was a couple weeks ago with the episode we did, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
I think the takeaway is that we're both now fans of wrestling.
Right here, folks. We did it. We did it again. I keep doing this. My favorite. It's my favorite thing about this show is getting people who maybe don't know or don't know enough or have no interest, and then they realize, oh no, and I'm like, ha ha ha, yes.
That's the power of Mark Calloway. Actually, I guess he did it.
God.
No, well, the thing I learned was that Mark Calloway, the Undertaker, the least charismatic, least interesting wrestler out of every wrestler I've ever seen.
Yeah,
which is saying something, because there's some candidates this week. and on that note, we should probably get to it. Which one would y'all like to start with, Nitro or Raw? I like to ask the guests, vegetables or meat.
Oh boy,
we started, like, this is chronological. We watched Raw first.
Yeah, we weren't sure what to do, so we watched Raw first.
Yeah.
Okay, fine choice to get it out of the way. I don't know. Sometimes we get surprised. Last week, I ended up really liking the Raw. It was interesting. But we are firmly in the what the fuck is Raw doing kind of era still. They're starting to figure it out. But I am.
Wait, that's figured out?
No, that's starting to figure it out.
Okay.
I was just going to say, if Raw, like, here's what I think would have fixed Raw and would have cemented America as basically the greatest country on the planet.
Okay.
If they threw away everything and gave the entire hour to gold dust.
Yes, thank you. This is what the liberals want. Is a drag queen obsessed with movies whose wife sucks his tongue when he does a good job.
Like, and I had no idea what the fuck was happening during the Gold Dust promo. Yep. And I know you said no David Lynch tribute, but oh my god, no, that was a David Lynch little scene of Gold Dust telling a Rowdy Roddy Piper mannequin that the mannequin was going to fuck Gold Dust. Like, when I get you in my back pocket, it's over, President Piper. I'm like, I was transfixed. I could not look away.
It was both psycho and sexual. Yeah, so like that does make sense. There was a little David Lynch going on. You're right.
And I feel like a complete idiot too. So just set up this promo. Like, there's a mannequin there, and I'm just like, I'm looking at this mannequin, not realizing that was actually a mannequin. I was like, this woman is dissociating. What's wrong? She's crying for help. I thought it was just a lady painted up like a mannequin standing there. Because Goldust sold it.
Goldust completely sold it.
Convinced me that he was talking to a human person.
Basically.
Right?
Oh, yeah. My God. So we've skipped. I'm going to go ahead and just skip to that in my notes, even though it comes later.
Yeah, I was going to say, we passed all the fighting and went right to the Goldust psychosexual promo.
We started with a showstopper. It's a rookie mistake.
Yeah, no, but yes, no, needless to say, that does happen, and we'll bring it, and I love it. No, that makes sense, because that's also, that's what Vince wants. He doesn't want you to look at the graphs. He wants the drama, so yes. But sure enough, like, it's Goldust in the back lot. He recites Pinocchio.
As you do.
They tell us that it's edited for TV, thus implying it was worse in person, and I'm like, okay.
I can believe that.
I saw the cut. I know where it happened.
Exactly.
Because he was going down at some point, but then it like cut to him back up standing. Like, oh, they didn't want to show what he was doing down.
Oh, that's what they did. Well, last week he got on his knees in front of the actual Roddy, not Twinkie mannequin dressed like Piper.
Okay.
And like, I'm guessing they probably got some calls. Yeah. So they're like, all right, we're going to go ahead and fucking change that. But it was some loving gay shit that he says to this man a dick, and then smashes the mannequin against the wall.
I'm brave enough, I'll say it. Release the Gold Dust cut.
Yeah.
Please, for the love of God.
The Marlena cut. Yeah, release the Marlena cut. That's amazing. Holy fuck. Write that down. Title episode. But yeah, no, I'm happy we get the Gold Dust of it all out of the way, because he is some of the best shit going on right now. And it's basically all leading up to a hate crime. So, come to the Patreon for that. We're recording that tomorrow night. WrestleMania 12. Woo!
No, I didn't. I thought all of my sexual awakenings were behind me until I saw this Gold Dust thing.
For like Ghost or the mannequin?
It doesn't matter anymore.
Give me all three.
I was like, wow, I thought I had tried everything, but there's a dragon I can chase right there.
There's always a taller mountain.
Yeah. Holy shit. Yeah, quoting Pinocchio. So I'm happy I could bring wrestling into your life and break you in a new way sexually. That's always great. The show's working, folks.
Yeah, it is.
But as far as the rest of Raw, they took a cue from Nitro last week and they said, fuck it, no intro, we're just going to go right to the ring. They do this thing with Sean with a camera, and it's his cam, and it just looks creepy when he's doing it.
Now, I have a question. My first question. Is Shawn Michaels straight? Because, like, as someone with a theater degree, someone who's done every manner of sexual thing to guys, gals, and non-binary pals, the way he twirls, I was watching this and I was like, no, they call this gay? Real, like, his twirl, like, I can't believe he did a perfect pirouette and hair toss. It was incredible.
I think that he was just feeling the aura of the ring, you know, like there's nothing sexual about it. It was just like he was enraptured with the crowd and the muscles and the lighting, and he was there.
Honestly, I think if you are trained by someone named Jose Lothario, you're going to be sexual in how you fight. Okay, I figured it out. I got there.
Yeah, no, it's in there. I mean, he was barely trained by Jose Lothario. This is such bullshit. But he brings Jose out. But they're trying to set up there's a Rocky motif going on. So they're like, we need a Mickey. Jose, here you go. Yeah. Get him, Sean. There you go. But I noticed there's a click sign in the audience. The click is what him and his friends call themselves, but also they're trying to say that's what Sean's fans are, but the lady spells it correctly and thus wrong, and that made me giggle really fucking hard. It's no internet yet. You don't know how it's supposed to be.
It's so, like, I miss ponytails like he had. We don't see guys with ponytails like that anymore.
It was all ponytails, as far as I could tell.
Yeah. There's a lot of ponytails. No, Leaf Cassidy was doing the mullet. And Leaf Cassidy is a new name for listeners, but it's someone they've seen before. Because Leaf Cassidy is the new rocker. He's taken Sean's place in his old tag team with Marty Jannetty. And it is, in fact, Al Snow. He has shown up twice already as a guy named Avatar and a guy named Shinobi, both masked martial arts characters. Both for one match. He came out on Raw for one match where he was supposed to be, like, launching him, and it just sucked shit. Like, both times, it was just the worst thing. And, like, I love wrestling. I want to give guys, like, a lot of credit. These were bad. he did a bad job. So, like, they're like, fuck it, we'll try again.
I was supremely happy and pleased with, like, the, like, twisting and aerial stuff that was happening in this first fight. It's like, oh, this is really kinetic in a way that every Undertaker fight I watched was not.
Yes, abso-fucking-lutely. And it's kind of cool. And, like, I say that part about all of his other shit sucking to bring up that point that this was really good. Like, he sells this body scissors and these arm drags so hard and fast. Like, and it's like, where was this when you were Avatar, buddy? Where was this, like, 6 months ago? Like, what the... He's been working, so I'll give Al that. it's better than it had any right to be. You'd think maybe they'd start paying attention to the wrestling soon as it's happening and it's a wrestling show. But the moment they lock up, Bret Hart comes out to create a distraction.
He's obviously the first person to ever have wraparound raptor glasses or whatever the fuck they're called.
They're like made of foil. Like, they don't even have frames. Yeah.
It's like when you get your eyes dilated at the, you know, optometrist and you have to, like, get those, like, loner sunglasses.
Like, oh, but these are cool.
Kind of, though. Like, I don't know how I feel about those glasses. I enjoyed them, actually. I think they looked okay, just not on him.
And I think it takes a pretty comfortable man to wear bright pink, because at work, we, as nurses, we all banded together to kind of bully our manager, because we got reported, or some of my coworkers got reported because they were called mean girls because they would wear pink on Wednesdays.
Oh,
and
my
if
God.
Anybody who's ever seen the movie Mean Girls knows that that's a bit from the movie. And this new manager had never seen Mean Girls. So she thought there was a culture of bullying happen at work. So she reported 15 people to HR. When it came out that it was a movie quote and people were wearing pink as a fun little like team building thing, a bunch of us bought pink scrubs. And so I wear neon pink scrubs every Wednesday at work to stand in solidarity with these women who got reported for liking Mean Girls. So I'm saying,
right,
if there's any men out there by chance, start wearing bright pink. You look fucking sick.
I want hot pink to be like the new color of 2025. Let's do it.
Pink and black is my shit, and it's all Brett's fault. So like, yeah, I agree. Y'all are great. You can come by more often. You're gassing up my entire wardrobe. You don't even realize it. Thank you.
And also, it pairs well with that like neon green, kind of like that zombie green that came on Leaf. You know, I actually did like Leaf. I like the design too. It kind of was cool. Where like crossed across the act, you know, like across the chest, and kind of lead into like these weird like tassel things outside of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's team tassels. Him and Marty Jannetty are definitely team tassels, and he kind of looks like a Eddie Van Halen guitar in neon green.
Yeah, he does.
No, and by all means, this is literally the best he has ever looked, both as far as like a style and in ring. It's pretty great. I wish we were paying more attention to the match, but they keep wanting us to look at everything else. And that's Vince.
I didn't want to see Bret the Hitman Hart talking. I wanted to see more like flips and cool shit.
Yeah, I want flippy shit and cool shit and guys hitting each other. This is the problem with this era of Raw. And I mean, before I came on y'all's show, you were watching the first Raw on Netflix, and I mean from what I heard, it's not much better now. it's a lot of people talking in like three matches in a 3-hour show, and that seems sad to me. But I got to make note of, you guys call Bret the Hitman. He says at one point that's why they call him the Hitman, because he hits guys real hard.
Yeah,
like is it Bret?
Is that what a hitman is?
Yeah. The American males must watch out. His man is coming to hit them.
Yeah, because your finisher is called the sharpshooter. So I was under the impression you were a hired assassin, Brett.
That would make sense.
I hit him real good, and I'm just like, holy fuck. I'm so happy he's so good in the ring. Get him off a microphone. And
Agent 47's just walking around punching people. Watch out.
They call him a hitman because he hits all of his targets.
Yeah, he's a Canadian Agent 47. Now I want a Canadian hitman game. Or he's a in punch. Yeah, there you go. Holy shit. Overall, I don't have much more to say about this match other than, while still green, it's, like I said, the best he's ever looked.
It definitely did. One thing about it did pique my interest for something in the show to come, and that they mentioned they're going to show Bret the Hitman Hart's music video.
Oh, good.
I've been dreading that since last week when they first gave it to us. But as I'm writing, not much to say about this. There's like terrifying botch. Al drops Sean just on top of him. It looked like he might have been trying to do like a stun gun across the top rope where he kind of lay the guy out. But he just, there was a miscommunication. And, like, even showing a terrifying amount of trust right after that, like 30 seconds prior, they do a superplex off the top rope. And I'm like, I wouldn't be doing that. Like, that guy just dropped me. Like, I don't want to do this. But they pull it off. And, I mean, to be fair, all Al has to do is fall backwards while Sean does a front flip. So, like...
I'm going to steal Nate's point here.
Yeah.
Cool.
Good that you had made. And, cool. And maybe, Nate, you want to talk about it, about... handing it to Al Qaeda.
No, oh, jeez.
So,
Al Snow, not Al Qaeda.
So, what Nate sort of vocalized, and what I completely agree with 100%, is that Vince McMahon's kind of a good announcer. Like, he's kind of good at that. God.
He was kind of doing a good job.
He
kind
of sells it. Like,
get the fuck out. I mean, you're hosting me, but leave my show. Like, how dare.
Like, there's something magnetic about his cocaine eyes, and just like, he looks at everybody like they're prey, and it's like, wow. You people couldn't tell what was, like, oh my god.
Monsters are entertaining. Terrifying. Like, they're entertaining to look at. Like, you're like, oh man, this guy, something's wrong with him.
Yeah, but like, something's really weird here.
His face doesn't move the right way, and like, you know, but like, the way that he talks about people, he talks about them kind of, not emotionally, but descriptively.
Yeah. Like, it's very, like, it
took me...
He
objectifies everything around him, basically.
Yeah, and I don't know, like, the vocal affect he has, where it's like a weird southern take on the mid-continental accent. It's so distinct. And like, I want to dissect him.
I mean, there's a whole book about that's required reading. But basically, it's because he's from South Carolina. But he doesn't want people to realize that he's from the South, because he thinks that makes him like... So he wants to be like a Connecticut, mid-Atlantic, like New York guy. So that's him trying to sound like that. And what you get is rostling and unquestionably. And like, it's like, well, he does not say things like anybody else says things. It's really fucking weird.
It's magnetic and horrifying at the same time.
It's entertaining.
Yes, it's entertaining.
It's hard to put away. Yeah. I'll give you that. But, yeah, thankfully, almost mercifully, this match ends. There's some fuckery, but Al eats a boot for three. And then we get one of my favorite parts of wrestling, which is sweaty, pretty, manly men whispering sweet nothings at each other with their lips an inch from each other, making deep, deep eye contact. That's the kind of romance you don't get from football, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, it's... That's how you win a slammy, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
There's a lot of ways to win a slammy.
Oh, my God.
Could I buy a slammy? Like, is there a way for me, like, in the year 2025 to buy a slammy?
I think there is no way in hell that there isn't someone who has been the recipient of a slammy who is not down hard enough that they will sell you a slammy. I'm sure if you search it, you probably find a slammy.
I got $250 ready for a slammy.
Let's fucking go. But in the meantime, they threaten you two with Undertaker and Paul Bearer. Yeah.
Okay, so full disclosure, in all the Undertaker research that we watched and we did, this was the first time I heard Paul Bearer speak.
I can't believe you never heard him speak. That's the whole point of him.
And
can you recreate him? Can I hear a Paul Bearer right now?
What, for me?
No. Yeah. I thought he was going to make me do it, because I was getting ready.
We could have a little contest. I mean,
who wants it more?
I don't think I can do it very well.
Yeah, but he gets the scared. You got the vibrato in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's a walking hammer film.
Yeah,
he's supposed to sound like a ghost, right? Like that's
kinda.
Why he talks like that?
Yeah, you know, like a Foley artist would shake the big thing to do lightning noise or storm noises.
Like aluminum, yeah.
Yeah, he's that guy. He's a human that.
Right, but unfortunately, that was just initially them warning us. First, you have to deal with one other thing before we get to that. So we all remember on our episode of Hate Speech where I talked about Triple H, Triple Paul, Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Yes.
The guy who just really loves iron crosses because of motorcycles, and he mm-hmm. named Gunther after a Nazi general. It was just an oopsie,
yeah.
guys.
Yeah, yeah, an accident. He did a whoopsie-daisy.
He's a historian, you know. Yeah. Sometimes historians, they just, you know.
Yeah, so he comes out to fight Aldo Montoya. That's Triple H. That's that's Triple Paul, Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Another question.
Yeah.
Has Triple H always been a dandy?
In the WWE, yes.
Wow.
He's still fairly new at this point. And he's basically, his character is all the guys that Vince lives around in Connecticut that hate him because he's clearly not one of them.
I'm so glad you framed it that way, because I was trying to figure out where these characters come from, right? You know, like, Vince just kind of points. And, like, this is just Vince's diary.
Yep.
Like, all these characters that are coming out. What is he feeling? Like, what's he working through right now?
I don't know how the timeline lines up, because maybe this came before, but I am getting real, like, Logan Huntsberger, Gilmore Girl boyfriend vibes from Triple H.
He came before that, but I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't pull a little fucking guy.
I've seen pictures of Triple H. I was like, wow, that is a beefy dude. I bet he's a fucking badass. And he's coming out there to classical music. I'm like, he's wearing like, what is
this scene? His hair is fabulous.
I was like, they made Vega take off the mask. Like, he's just Vega.
Yeah. No, he's wearing like a dressage, like coattails. And
yes, that's amazing.
I could not fucking believe. I was like, I've been lied to my entire life. I was looking back at my entire life. It's like, I should have been watching this shit.
Yeah.
This is everything, and I missed it.
Well, I'm so happy that I dragged you into my hell. Because, yes, he's starting out like this. And they tell us that he's going to meet the Ultimate Warrior at WrestleMania.
I am going to look up that fight and watch it.
Oh, it's the worst. Heads up to people who want to watch along on pay-per-view. On the Patreon, please still come, but like, come to watch like the worst Triple H jobber match to the fucking Warriors. So I wanted to make sure we talked about this segment, because everyone that has ever worked with the Ultimate Warrior could come on your show and do a 6-part series on the Ultimate Warrior.
I know. It's probably bad.
No, they're there to compliment him. It's like, oh, he was a nice guy. I can talk to him for hours.
Yeah. When he died, Nate, rest in piss, someone added him to a collage picture of dead wrestlers in heaven and posted it to Twitter, like you do, right?
Uh-huh.
The first comment was, there ain't no Ultimate Warrior in heaven. So
he's like down there fighting the Doom guy right now.
Where is Hulk Hogan?
like sure. Did the Ultimate Warrior get to burn in hell? Sure. Is he also getting sucked off by Nancy Reagan? Also yes. Okay, who's to say? Hold on. Who's to say what is hell?
What did he do?
Oh my God!
Just give me the hit. Nothing. Give me a hit. Give me a teaser.
Mostly nothing. He was a bodybuilder who didn't do cardio and did every steroid known to man and couldn't wrestle. Yeah, sick, based. but he couldn't wrestle. Because when Lex Luger does that, it's okay because Lex learned how to wrestle. You know? So it's like, fine. But he was like a Lex Luger that couldn't actually wrestle. He just did cocaine and ran to the ring. And he couldn't do cardio, so he would run to the ring and be like, and do his shit. But then he'd be fucking gassed before the match starts. You know? All right, now what? And he can't do much else. And people hated working with him because he wasn't safe. He would go out there and just kick people's ass. And he had Vince telling him, you're my guy now. Like, look at you. You're fucking huge. Look at those muscles. I am straight. And you're my new Hogan. And, like, he tried to put him over as, like, the new Hulk Hogan. But, like, after a while, people are like, well, I mean, it's like at the zoo and the monkey's not doing anything. And you're like, well, fucking do something. And he's like, shakes the ring. Like, yeah, no, we saw that. Do something.
What he did was cocaine.
What he did was more lines and more steroids.
I would go to the zoo and watch that monkey. I would specifically go for that monkey.
Oh my God, now I'm imagining the monkey just doing a line and putting the warrior face paint on. Just fucking shaking branches.
I wouldn't want to wrestle that monkey, I guess.
No.
You wouldn't want to.
Yeah, so needless to say, he's hated.
Dang.
So I do have a question, because I haven't learned who's good at wrestling and who's bad, because I just haven't built that vision yet.
If I had to guess
though, is Triple H good at his job? Is he a good wrestler? Is he do people like the job that he does?
Well, I mean, it's all very subjective, and there's people who God, the internet wrestling community sucks balls. Not the people, not you sickos listening. You are all wonderful.
Except here's for 10, one of you.
Yeah,
you
know we love you.
Yeah, here's $10. Go see a Star Wars. Mama loves you. So, it's good. But Right now, he's still pretty green. Like, the match you watched, he's still pretty green. Aldo Montoya is a pretty good wrestler and more of a veteran at this point, so they get a pretty good match going.
I was kind of liking it. Like, yeah. You know, the thing I mentioned to Tyler while we were watching is, like, oh, he has a lot of follow-through with his punches, right? Because, like, normally with wrestlers, they kind of, like, they stop, which is what you're, which you're supposed to do, you know, because you're not supposed to actually punch the guy. But, like, he stops enough, and then he has, like, an exaggerated follow-through after, like, the fake punch happens.
It's a
and
good I'm like, I like punch. That. No, yeah. it's a good work punch, and he's not. That just is. He's not bad, but especially over time, he's gonna think he's a lot better than he is, and that rubs people the wrong way. And then we get into the Iron Cross shit, and like
he buys into his own character.
Yeah, like basically. Yeah, okay. They all fucking do, you guys. Like that's eventually they all believe their own shit, and like he get you see him now, and he's like the swath. Beautiful haired Connecticut man, but you're talking about seeing him later. That man does so much fucking juice, like just so much steroids, and he comes back from an injury at one point looking twice the size. He is two Pauls. he is triple Paul times two. He's sixth the Paul. Like he's just huge, and then it's ridiculous, and he's also like torn his quad like so many times, and like I don't, you're a nurse, right? I don't know how much you know about all that, but generally the quad isn't a muscle you tear.
Well, as I was gonna say, like with my medical experience, that is what we would say is that's bad. That's very, real bad.
You're not like, doing good if you keep tearing your shit.
Yeah, that doesn't. There's not a full recovery to be had.
Basically, and like you find out after a while that there are certain muscles that tend to only get torn by people who are overworking them because they have the ability to because they're on a shit ton of steroids. Vince McMahon one time got so mad at two guys fucking up the end of a Royal Rumble that he ran out to the ring screaming at them to get back in the ring and do it again. All this is live, right? So he's trying to keep it sort of kayfabe. But he's just pissed. And he's so mad that he runs into the ring and hits both his knees on the ring apron as he goes in and blows both his quads. As he's getting into the ring, can't even stand up. He's trying to stand up and he can't, and he's realizing he's trying to look tough, and he's just screaming at these guys from his ass in the corner because he just blew both his quads because he's on so much fucking steroids.
Damn, that happened, and The Undertaker burned his teddy bear?
At the same time, yeah.
No wonder he did all that bad stuff. He was really hurt people is what I'm learning.
Oh, God, we just keep hurting himself. But yeah, so I wanted to make sure that we talked about Ultimate Warrior because fuck that guy. Also, he ended up being like a racist, homophobe, piece of shit, queerphobe.
Addicted to drugs, fights people, is terrible at everything.
Addicted homophobe, to his own farts, yeah.
Homophobe, racist. God, I'll start calling him the Ultimate my dad.
Yeah. Well, why would him and your dad and my mom just get together and talk about it? Mm-hmm.
There wouldn't be talking. They'd be doing drugs and killing each other.
Yeah. Tequila, yes. Yeah. But holy fuck, that's amazing. So, yes, that's that. But then, yes, the gold dust stuff happens, blah, blah, blah. We quickly, before we get to the man, the myth, the hated legend, I do have to say next week, sickos, for our longtime listeners, Mankind's coming. The vignette telling us has some real graphic design is my passion energy. but hell yeah, Mick. but then, yes, we come back. For some reason, you can see people really did love The Undertaker. As he comes out, they are losing their shit, and I hate it.
Yeah, purple's not a good color on him.
Yeah. You know,
like he got to stick to black on black. Black and purple's not good for Undertaker.
He switches it out to gray sometimes, and then he brought the purple back later in his career as like an homage. I personally, I'm a sucker for the purple. That's like classic Taker for me. But I get it.
It would work more if like he had I'm sorry to go there. Had a better dye job. Like you can see the red hair, and it's just like.
I'm okay. Like, for me, it was just like the purple. It was just like, I'm not intimidated by purple as a color.
Enough in my gender. I'm not intimidated by purple as a color.
Yeah, like, you know, it's like, oh, you like to have fun.
You can't do shit to me, electric periwinkle. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
But maybe not someone who builds coffins. I don't know. It just seems like a hell of a nightlife. But yes, Paul Bearers, as we were discussing, is the star here. Mm-hmm. I fucking love me a weird little guy. And holy shit, what a weird little guy.
it dawned on me today what he reminds me of. And it finally hit me. Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy.
Yes, okay, yeah. Yes.
After getting off crack, because he kind of plumped up. Yeah. So it's like, I guess crack is the, getting off crack is the kind of steroid of non-steroid use. I don't know. I'm still working on a formula for that one.
Well, later on, Davey Boy Smith wants to hear about it because he loves steroids and crack. So,
you know, it seems like a winning combination, stronger and faster.
Holy shit. Ultimate Warrior again. Shake those rules.
Yeah.
Undertaker shows us his 5-star promo skills.
Oh my God, that was... I had to look, I was like, is he reading, or are his eyes just roll negative charisma in life? How do you do it?
Well, like, we were talking about it, like, because I... Shar, your partner behind us, like, was he reading off a teleprompter? I'm like, no, I think he just memorized a script.
Yeah,
which is what he gave it a go.
Well, and also I was just thinking, like, I bet you, like, none of these guys, like, memorize a script, right? They just wing it. They just have general ideas of what you want to say, and you say it, and that's how you get charisma, right? But, like, obviously he was just, like, trying to, like, regurgitate these lines, desperately trying to remember what he was told to say, and just couldn't do it.
He just couldn't do it.
That's when I started looking at my phone. I was like, I can't take any more of this bullshit, guy. I can't.
I just knew.
Let Paul do the work. Paul knows how to do it. Yeah. He knows how to do it.
He's a weird little guy. Get people to pay attention.
He sold it, like, Sorry, Undertaker, you don't have what it takes to do...
You're no Paul Bearer.
Yeah. I know Paul Bearer, and sir, you are no Paul Bearer.
You're not even a Mike Lindell, even though you want to be. Like, no. What's worse than being the pillow guy, but wanting to be the My Pillow guy? Like, please, Mr. President, please. Please save fucking sports for my daughter who... Okay, so... I'm sorry, real quick, because we talked about a little bit on hate speech, but it's like, goddamn, fuck him so hard. So he says his daughter wants to play football and doesn't want to play with boys, right?
Yeah, yes.
Uh-huh. Okay, so show me a fucking high school girls football team. Show me one. They don't exist.
Yep.
Like he's talking about a thing that already doesn't exist because of patriarchy. and he's blaming it on my queer gay ass. And I just don't understand. Like, it's none of it makes sense. All right, Whew, see, that was the whole point of having you on, is the spillover from hate speech.
Let it out. Yeah. I'm a nurse. If you don't let the hate out, you'll get cancer. That's medical advice certified. No, please don't. That's not medical advice.
please don't sue me. I am not a professional.
No.
But yes, so thankfully that's over. Rest in peace. Going to commercial. We get a look at the Slammy Awards. Not a real thing. Just an idea Vince had. They're going to talk about it like it's the 20th annual Slammy Awards, and it's like, it's like the second, maybe third time they've done it. Just
cool statue, though. Statue. You could tell the fake plastic gold lifting up a guy. Like, perfect.
It's looks fucking really sick. Great.
It's going to make for an awesome prop for Owen Hart for years to come. So it's worth it, at least. We get a brief look at Doc Hendricks singing the Bad Street USA song, trying desperately to remain relevant. And for the third week in a row, we get Brett and Sean Rocky training videos.
It was so boring.
it was so bad. And this is the third week in a row they've done this to us, guys. It's not good. It's Sean pretending to be vicious animal in the sparring ring and running some stairs, you know?
Nate, do you want to pool your money? A Slammy Award, $800.
Really?
Autographed Seth Rollins, The Miz, Charlotte Flair.
Okay.
No shit.
Wait, Charlotte Flair is a Slammy.
Charlotte,
she got, in the, She got him a divorce.
No, that's her dad. You're probably thinking married to Ric Flair. No, that's her dad.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Which I mean, now I'm gonna
look.
Go
it says
there.
It says Flair Woo written on it.
Wait, only $800?
Okay, actually, I kind of want that. That's amazing.
Oh, there's a Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins sign Slammy. Sorry, I'll get us off Slammies.
It's more interesting than that fucking training montage.
Yeah,
it is.
Because, like, I was, like, looking at the gym and it's like, yeah, I work out occasionally. I go to Crunch Fitness and, like, oh, yes, I'm strong now. but, like, that gym looked like dog shit. And I think that was on purpose, right? They're trying to do the working class.
Yeah, the Rocky.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they're trying to do Rocky. And then when they go to Brett, it's Rocky IV because he's running in the snow. He's staring longingly at a Canadian horizon. He's doing some cardio. His dad's kicking his ass, which is really... It's all kind of funny in hindsight.
They get trained in tough style, so it makes sense.
But it's just Brett getting his ass kicked by an old guy and swimming and, like, saying he respects Sean and shit. It's not... It doesn't look great for you, dude. Like,
No.
You're losing already.
I mean, he should be drinking eggs, right? Like, yeah. I want to see him, like, really doing things that would be punishing. Like, drink 20 eggs, please.
Yeah, punch some meat. But I mean, that being said, his dad is famous for hurting the fuck out of people. So his dad probably was legit kicking his ass.
Oh, yeah, no, I believe that all these people have been abused. That's a believable story, yes.
Speaking of people who have been abused by Stu Hart, we come back to the ring to his little brother Owen Hart, the King of Hearts. Because it's a whole fucking family dynasty of fucked up little dudes. All wrestling and on drugs. And then we get Ahmed Johnson. Ahmed is still pretty green. I love him, though.
Ahmed, I was drawn to this man like flame.
How could not be?
My God.
He looks like a fucking wrestler, you know?
He looks like a wrestler. He controlled the room. He was expressive. He was playful.
I hate to say, I want to have a beer with him.
Yeah.
You know, like that kind of like attitude where like I might actually like this person if I were
talking.
Yeah,
like little finger twirls to get the crowd engaged, the looks he was giving. Oh my God. I was like, cancel every other like my biggest note in this section I wrote in all capital letters, God damn you, the British Bulldog.
You and his wife who was sitting at the at ringside.
Churchill comes again.
Yeah, God damn it. He's still Davey's having a hard time paying attention because he heard you say crack earlier. So like he's just very distracted. Holy shit! But this ought to be a great match because Ahmed, like, he's green, but he's look at him. And Owen is the kind of guy who's so good that it's hard to have a bad match with him.
Yeah,
like, he's just that good at what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, Ahmed has a reputation for hurting people.
I was waiting for it. You know, I almost like called my shot. I was like, let's see.
I was holding back. I was letting you guys go. I was like, no, yeah, keep building it up. Yeah. Talk about how great he is. Apparently, he sucked. Apparently, he's not great. He just hurt people, which kills me because I loved him as a kid and I still do. Because all those things, he looks like. Amazing. I'm sure it was disappointing to Vince, too, because Vince was like, oh, my God, this guy's going to get me money. Like, holy fuck. But he's just not that great. And they don't know what to do with him because
was it just
racist.
Like a training thing? Is just like, just like with, a couple years of training, like, you'll be on top. Or it's just like he just didn't want to do it properly.
Bit of column A. Bit of column B because like,
well, I guess we won't know, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he kept at it. He was in the Fed for a few years doing little to nothing, and he ended up in WCW for a while too. Not had a great time. I think it was like he was green and he could have gone with some more training, but he just kind of had the attitude that he was huge. He didn't have to, and I think part of that's on Vince too because Vince will have a tendency to blow smoke up these guys' ass. And like, and be like, no, look at you. You're this big, huge fucking man. I'm so straight, muscly, and oily. And you don't need to be great because I think you're great. And I'm going to make you great because I say you're great. And everything I say goes. So, like, he just kind of, I think he kind of didn't, he was like, fuck it. I don't have to be better, you know? That being said, he also dealt with racism.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I called that, like, okay, this match is going to end with the black man losing. is my guess.
Like I was going to say, like, you say he had a reputation for hurting people, but from a position of oppression, is he really hurting anyone that matters?
And also, here's the thing. Like I told y'all on Hate Speech, you don't necessarily know who you can believe when you hear all these stories.
Right, yeah.
You know, and like you said, it was hard to find dirt on Undertaker, even though he is a fucking Nazi. and so, like, when you hear these stories, you'll have Ahmed Johnson saying, I got shit for being black and being green, and they were super racist and didn't really give me the opportunities to get better because of the racism. And you'll have all these other white good old boy guys who are third generation in the business being like, he was just green and hurting people and no one liked him, he had a shit attitude. And it's like, okay, well...
I refuse to believe that British Bulldog and Jake the Snake could be racist. It doesn't strike me. I don't know Vader all that well. I bet you he's not racist.
No, Vader was cool. Vader grew up in Oakland. Vader was Vader was actually chill, from my understanding.
However, Jake was maybe really chill. I bet you I did call Jake the Snake, though. I bet you Jake the Snake.
Come on.
Also, though, Jake the Snake is one of those stories where if you ever want to just be the most depressed you've ever been in your whole life, learn about Jake the Snake.
I was feeling bad for the snake. I like how that's not a good environment for a snake. He probably goes through a snake episode.
He literally gets them from local people. Like, he doesn't have his own snake. He doesn't like snakes.
Does he fuck the snake?
No.
I hope not. No, he hates them. No.
How?
Hey. Why'd you go there? Fucking anamorphing time, guys. God damn it. Right to the animal body horror. Fuck me. But no, he actually hates the snake. There was a storyline in the, I want to say, late 80s, early 90s, where a guy named Earthquake, big old dude, as you imagine, sat on the snake. And crushed it and turned it into snake meat and then made burgers with it. That was a storyline for children. And
did he really kill a snake?
No, they switched it out.
This isn't like that Punjabi Brothers movie that we watched where that guy just ate a snake, an actual snake.
Oh, yeah, three times in the movie?
Jesus.
Yeah, we watched an Indian-produced action movie where they just had this guy who would bite the head off lizards, and they were real lizards. And they do it three different times in the movie, and it's like,
Osborne, what the fuck?
They just do whatever they want.
I'm surprised that there's not more of that in wrestling, actually. I guess they were trying to be on television, right?
They
did that shit on television. That's a scary thing. Like,
we had regulatory stuff in our movies that they just don't have.
As little regulation as possible in wrestling. Vince made sure of that.
Yeah.
Like in court, like in like the late 80s, he went in court and said, please don't tax me like I'm a sport. This isn't real.
It's a church, actually.
Yeah. Oh, God. That's probably what he was going for. Cult. That's a church, right? Yeah.
The Undertaker had the Ministry of Darkness. So I think that allows me to have tax exemption status.
That was a soft run. Yeah. I don't have to pay taxes because it's a ministry. Yeah, we're talking turkey here, but yeah, good shit. They get a shot of Bulldog trying at the ringside, looking like he's probably fucked up. He's like just blinking hard at the lights and shit. I'm just like, oh my god. But we come back from commercial, and Ahmed's hitting a huge spine buster and sets him up for his finisher. And I was like, all right, cool, awesome. This is going to end this way. But
I enjoyed the fight, right?
Like, I enjoyed the fight as well.
Up until like everybody showed up. It was a good fight.
Exactly. Kind of like I call it. It's like Owen's going to get a good match out of this guy, but they refuse to pay any attention to it. We come back, and of course, Bulldog's not going to let that happen. Mm-hmm. So he runs in and loses the match for his friend. Which I will never understand. So it's clusterfuck time. Bring Vader in a sweatshirt. And I said it last week. He looks like when he put a sweater on a dog. It's always weird because he's like in his full gear, then with a sweatshirt over it. It's with the mask. See, it's just strange.
Sometimes you get cold.
The weird choice for me is Yokozuna. Like, I don't know why he was there. He just kind of like showed up, like, all right.
Because he used to be a bad guy with Bulldog and Owen, and that's the story.
There's a history there. Okay.
There's a history there. A very a week long one. Don't give him too much credit.
I was just thinking from like a narrative standpoint, like there's already too many like characters there. Just having Yokozuna show up is like, there's too much.
Yeah,
like, give me a Vader and Bulldog, sure. Maybe like a Jake the Snake, I think. Yeah, but like,
or have Ahmed come back and just beat all their asses at the same time.
Yeah,
way better ways this could go, but they're setting up a WrestleMania match with all these guys, and if it feels awkward, it's because it's awkward. Like, it's last week, our guest Piper said it's like a match you make with your action figures. Like, ah, oh, fuck, I need baby faces. I got Jake the Snake. I guess I got a Yokozuna, and it's like
Cobra Commander shows up. You know,
yeah, exactly. Does the Cobra Clutch because you don't have a Sheik? Yeah, so that makes sense. Fuck the Hulk Hogan. But these are Vince's action figures, so it really tracks. And they cut in the last 3 minutes to the promised Bret Hart music video.
My God.
I was not enjoying it.
The same three bars for 3 minutes, just over and over. Gonna light the fire, gonna have desire.
He's burning inside.
Yeah.
I'm a real American for Hulk Hogan. Yeah. Can't match that quality.
It's no Be a Man Hulk by Macho Man Randy Savage.
Well, that came after. Come on. Yeah. I don't care.
I love that
fire.
Album.
Yeah, oh God. But this is all well and good, but more importantly, it means no billionaire Ted. Sickos at home, longtime listeners, take note. We've made it. We've made it to the end of the dark nightmare. So, y'all, I don't know if you watched anything before this. If you didn't, I don't blame you. But for like the last 3 to 4 months, the last 3 minutes of this show has been taken up by a shitty sketch comedy of them doing basically borderline libel against Ted Turner and like making fun of Hulk Hogan and Macho Man for being old and like all this petty shit because they're mad that Nitro's kicking their ass. And they've been doing it for like 3.5 months, and this is the first time that they haven't had one, and I think they finally got in trouble. Because like we find out later, it's come out recently even that like he got letters from the network being like, you gotta stop making fun of Ted Turner. He's our friend. Like you're talking about how he's an evil capitalist, and like, Vince, we're all evil capitalists. You can't be saying this shit. But instead, we get Brett music video. They're reaching for footage. There's at least twice where it's just shots of him talking on the phone, like pretending to break the neck of an inflatable dinosaur. You know,
leaving the same club 3 different times.
Yeah, different angles. Yeah,
yep.
It was so weird. It felt very like Tiger Beats to me, where
so
it was like,
much.
It's like I'm supposed to be swooning over this man.
This hitman.
This trained deadly assassin, yes.
Right, but like it was framed in this like, you know, kind of teen idol viewpoint. I'm like, I don't get it. I'm sorry.
It's so weird.
That's because it's for teenagers.
I'm like, maybe though? I don't know.
They don't know yet. That's just it. We are very much in this point where they're like, before this, it was aimed for like younger than teenagers. You wanted like kids, you know,
at this time, right?
Like, yes, yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, even well, kind of, but y'all missed out on some shit because then they had a couple episodes where they would start with a graphic warning, and it's just Sonny being hot in a bikini, talking about how we're gonna do it till we're raw and shit, and like, and then going into like their normal for kids wrestling program, and it's like, what? They don't know what they're doing, like, and they don't know how to change because, like, Vince isn't a human.
Well, it's like
he doesn't know how humans work.
It's like that thing, like, and sorry to get a little trigger warning E or content warning E.
Yeah,
it's that thing that abusers do where they show something over sexualized to someone who doesn't quite understand it, and that sort of grooms them into this behavior. Which you're so right though. This is for kids, but if you attach that onto the front of it, then you're showing these kids something that may make them be like
turns them into
easier.
More of a real man, you know? Like,
yeah, yeah.
Well, right. Not,
well, I hate to break it to you, Vince. It didn't work on me. Quite the opposite of that.
Vince is so upset right now.
Yeah, he's like, somewhere going, damn it, no!
Well, there's that, but also, like, I was going to put it more into the category, this one's for daddy, right? Where it's like,
yeah. All
right, so if father and son are watching the show, then, you know, give something for the dad to look at, which is hot babes.
And that's probably what they're thinking. They're like, we're going for the older demographic, but execution, it's just awkward and weird and groomy because Vince is fucking a fucking creep, and like he doesn't know how to do this normal.
You know? And it's that weird shit that shows up in some children's media. Like, I think of the Brave Little Toaster when the air conditioner dies and how sexy that was, and how it's like,
wait, what?
Never mind. Let's continue with Nitro.
And not Nitro.
Macho Man.
And the Slammy Award for the most awkward transition in the history of this podcast. And that includes mine.
You're tuned in to Ghost Coast Studios, the world's first and only podcast network. Built for creators, activists, and entrepreneurs with something to say. Gripping audio documentaries. Conversations that spark change. We're here to bring your ideas to life. Ready for more? Head to ghostcoast.video for shows that matter, tools to help you create, and a community that's totally redefining what a podcast network can be. Ghost Coast Studios, meet your dreams.
The fantastic. All right, Nitro.
Well, hold on, though. There is a transition here. Because in Nitro, they're making fun of... The girlfriend of the booty master?
No. No. Or the booty man.
The booty man. The booty man.
Booty man. Booty daddy.
The booty babe, they said, oh, she looks like a lampshade. And so that's and that's the transition from Brave Little Toaster. Like sexy lampshade.
Yeah, exactly. That we'll get there. Poor Kimberly.
I fixed it.
You fixed it.
I'm all fixed now. I'm better. I'm not going to harm anyone.
Just putting duct tape up. I fixed it. It's fine. Well, let's see what it's like on the live side of things. It's the night after the uncensored pay-per-view. Again, Patreon folks, I'll be up. There's flame pyro and indoor fireworks, and I'm just imagining inhaling all that smoke. Like, hell yeah, the 90s. Oh my god, I'm so sorry, guys, they're embarrassing me. But speaking of appreciation and dogs, Mago and Pepe have cowpern cowboys, and I'm pleased. So yes, Pepe exists. There is a Pepe. Everyone should know he's there every episode, and he, besides Goldust, is my favorite part of the week.
Well, it was so bizarre to me, because like, I was squinting my eyes, and I imagine like on a shitty CRT, like it probably looked way worse, and I'm like, is that a dog?
I couldn't tell.
What was he holding? I wasn't quite sure, and like, I think it's a dog.
What is that vague brown and white area that he is just clinging to?
It's just kind of shaking weird, isn't it? Is it a scared rat? What's going on here?
No, but like, I'm a Pepe appreciator. Now, once I realized it was a dog, I was like, okay, we must protect Pepe.
From Mongo. Yeah. But they tell us that we got three title matches, Giant versus Ric Flair. Eric says the Giant would actually eat the title. That pleases me. I want to see that.
That was, so maybe we'll get into it when we've finished talking about Nitro, but... the trashiness of Nitro is so beautiful.
Yeah,
it is.
What's that like stamped steel that you would see? Like,
like the industrial stamped steel everywhere. Yeah,
yeah. Like it felt like I have fond memories, and maybe someone out there knows of this show called Hard Times.
Yeah, Hard Times.
Where like at like midnight they would just play like metal music videos.
Yeah, new metal music videos on Saturday nights on Fox.
Yeah, and like It was just like this, it brought me back to a time and place where like everything was hard and metal and there were sparks flying everywhere. And it was just like, I was into it. I was into Nitro.
And that like almost never really changes. And like, I love that. Same with your intro. Like, Raw's going to go through so many intros, but Nitro's just never changes because it's not fucking broken. It's amazing. Like, they got it right away.
I don't think I'll ever forget that when they said his face is more smashed up than Princess Diana's car crash.
Yep. Oh,
oh my God.
Yeah.
I was I kind of see the formula here. Like, there's a guy named Booty Man and they're making these edgy, trashy jokes. Like, I get why people enjoy this.
Yeah, and you see more of what Vince is trying to do. Like, Vince and Lawler are trying to be edgy, but they're not funny. And they don't have souls, so they don't know how to be human. Like, it doesn't work.
No,
it just sounds fucking weird.
when they're talking about Lex Luger and they say, he'll pat you on the back because he's looking for a soft spot to put the knife. It's like, God damn, I'm not going to forget that phrase. That fucking rocks. These guys,
right?
Like, I know he handed it to Vince for, like, his great showmanship, just being electric, magnetic, just all these great things about him. But the way these announcers on Nitro handled this and, like, were riffing was a lot more fun.
Oh, yeah, and I think that's amazing. Well, you liked Vince. I'm like, well, you watched Raw first. You didn't get, you didn't get Bobby Heenan, like, greatest to ever do it. So, yeah, no, the commentary is overall always better on Nitro. They actually commentate on the match. Speaking of our first grabs, Belfast Bruiser, Fit fucking Finley. I love this guy. He is amazing. This dude is not someone you want to fuck with. Like, he looks like a Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome extra.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah.
But he will kick your fucking ass and then sing a song about it, because that's how us Irish do.
He reminded me of he reminded me of, like, a larger Bennett from Commando.
Yeah.
Like, different continents. Like, yeah, I know Bennett was Australian, but it's, like, it's that same kind of, like, attitude.
He was also in Mad Max Road Warrior, so.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
he was the pink mohawk.
Yeah, it's, like, the same vibrations off those two. But, yes, no, I was a fan of the Belfast.
There's something about thick, hard men that could possibly wear chainmail that just fucking speak to me.
You know, I like when people know things about themselves. That's
cool. I figured it out.
And it's such a shame, too, because I was going to give the match to him. However, Macho Man, like, I don't know what the quality of Macho Man matches are. I enjoyed Macho Man in this one. And in particular, I was a big fan of Macho's brow. The lighting that they had on poor Macho Man, Randy Savage. The way they just highlighted that caveman brow, where you just, like, you couldn't see any
the
eyes.
Light, like, he takes his sunglasses off, like, oh, that's his beady eyes. Okay.
You don't need sunglasses.
And then
shaved.
The talk down light hitting his six head that just hangs over his sunken eyes. There's a visor of blackness where his eyes should be. I'm like, I was like, I understand caveman. I understand the missing link. I understand all of this now.
That's why he wears the shades, because you could never see his eyes.
And we have to feed these guys cocaine and steroids.
In sunlight. Them. He's our biggest boy. He's Florida Man, Randy Savage. And this actually reeks of banger. Like, these are two guys who are real good at this shit.
Yeah, it fucking whipped ass. Good. Like, watching Macho Man climb up to the top rope and throw his arms out, I'm like, this is what it's about, people. This is what we grew up for. Yeah. This is it.
And that's just it. Like, Vince wants to shit on these guys who were his guys. Uh-huh. And saying, oh, they're old and they don't have it anymore. And I'm like, I don't know, man. I think he's still got it. Like, this shit fucking rules. Like,
and, like, I really love the energy of Nitro, that it, like, is one half a wrestling show and the other half a divorced man's rights show.
Yeah.
Had a strong identity.
That was truly incredible. It's like, oh, there's Macho Man's wife with his money. Oh, she's giving it to the crowd.
So good. I love this. No, we're getting into, like, so yeah, this match is ferocious and fucks, and we are getting into Macho's unhinged hoss era. And, like, it's my favorite. He just starts to get more paranoid and, like, lose his mind more and more every week. And it's so fucked. Because Rick's fucking with him. Yeah. Basically. It's so great. But, yeah, this match, like, I don't have much to say about this match other than go watch it.
Yeah, it's,
like,
fun. It's,
like,
fun as hell.
This is a really fun match. Because, like, Fit is amazing. Like, he's one of the best to ever fake sports. Like, just,
and there's
fuck.
Some pretty good, like, Ireland comments where it's like, well, he grew up in Ireland, and that's a dark place for a young, strong lad.
Yeah.
Like,
Jesus
I was like,
Christ.
is it really, though?
What do you mean? What are you talking about? Get out, you black and tans. Get out of here. I did the shitty Irish accent again specifically for Alkaline. That was for you, buddy.
Oh, can we do shitty Irish accents?
If you want to make my buddy Al pissed, yeah.
You can, yeah. Go for it.
I did it on Hate Speech, and he's like, podcasters, American podcasters, please stop doing it. I was like, I do it because it's bad.
Damn. I don't know that I can do it very well. Hello, Alkaline. My name's Tyler.
Oh, hold on, wait. Fit Finley, actually, he's right in front of me right now. Fit, do you have anything to say?
I think I could beat Randy Savage if we could fight once more.
Oh, I feel bad for Mr. Savage right now. I don't think he's ready for
it. I'd smash his brains on the streets of Dublin.
Well, that's it then. Let's do the thing. Fucking bring it out here, Finn.
No, okay, I have a question, though. Is he actually Irish?
Yes.
Okay, I had to confirm. I don't know.
No, he is actually Irish, thank fuck.
And I want to apologize to the great people of Ireland. My last name has the word Mick in it, so I kind of feel a kinship there.
There you go.
Just don't say you're Irish, though.
It's allowed, yeah.
Don't what?
Don't say you're Irish.
I'm not saying I'm Irish. I'm saying I feel a kinship with them.
Okay.
That's it. Jesus Christ.
Let me get you a beer.
Oh, God. I hope Al stops listening now. That's amazing.
I don't have a can opener for this here lager you've given me.
Oh, fuck.
You shouldn't have given me permission. I'm gonna...
Can I rescind it? Can I take it back?
Like, yeah, it's your show. I'll rein it in.
I'm taking it back.
I'm reining it in. Yeah, that's right. We're doing Maestro now.
Fucking A. Well, I breathe a sigh of relief, not just for that, but because this match was all grabs, no run-ins. Raw had me on edge because of all the run-ins, but this was just a good match.
Yeah.
We come back to Mean Gene is back. He was gone last week, and thankfully he's not dead. But he has some exposition time with Ric Flair, Liz, and Woman, and he is feeling very, very good about it. So.
I have questions
about Woman.
I've been like sitting on questions about Woman for all my life. And I just need to know, what is Woman and who is Woman?
Oh, wow. Is Matt Walsh here? Shut the fuck up.
Matt Walsh has the same question. Listen, this is the only time me and Matt Walsh will have the same question.
This is a trans podcast. You're not allowed to ask what is a woman. Okay.
But I'm going to help, though. I need help.
Woman is real name is Nancy Sullivan. She is at this time married to Kevin Sullivan, the Taskmaster, who we see at some point. He gave her the name Woman when they had like a Satanic Panic stable in Florida. So like she was just Taskmaster was like the leader of this Satanic cult in Florida Championship Wrestling.
These answers only lead to more questions.
Yeah, right. She showed up and was like the teenage girl that he like groomed to Satan, and he just
there was like
her
a Damian
Woman.
Baby situation. Probably.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
okay. Mm-hmm.
So, Woman, I love Woman. Woman is really great at this shit. She's great at just being fierce and like awesome. So here's the thing, though.
I also love Woman.
Listen, we all love Woman.
So remember Hate Speech, your episode that I was on, that thing we did, the reason you're here?
Uh-huh.
Remember when we talked about Chris Benoit?
Yeah.
Oh no.
Oh, no.
Remember when we talked about how there was this guy who worked himself into a shoot because he wrote a story about this guy stealing his wife, and then it actually happened, and then she got murdered by Chris Benoit?
Yeah, I remember that part.
Yeah, Nancy Sullivan changed her name to Nancy Benoit. That is Chris Benoit's wife that he murdered. So I'm very sorry to bring it all the way down.
Oh, no. Woman is not with us?
I changed my sentiment. I loved Woman.
Yeah.
Loved.
Oh, God. Jesus Christ. Yeah. Oh, my God. That is... the darkest this show has ever gotten. Thank you. Holy fuck. But yes,
Let me just say how sorry I am.
Don't put this on the Irish.
Yeah, no, Jesus.
They are not an escape route.
Holy fuck.
I love that we come into podcasts and never get invited back because of how I act.
Because the way we treat the Irish.
Yeah, exactly. Not to do with Nancy Benoit. But yes, that's who Woman is, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. Questions answered.
Yeah. No more promises kept.
No more questions about Woman.
Yeah, promises get that'll teach you to ask what is Woman.
Okay. Here's the thing, I do have a better follow-up question, which is what was the WCW hotline? because there was an ad for the middle of the WCW hotline. I'm like, it was like also like $1.50 a minute. I'm like, who's calling this thing?
Kids need to get permission. Oh boy.
Well, I mean, not because of content, because of money.
Yeah, I know.
Well, they should have because of the content. The WCW hotline is Mean Gene's baby. Basically, you call in and there's recorded segments of Mean Gene saying a bunch of shit that he made up. And letting people think that it's like behind the scenes scoop.
Okay,
that makes sense. Because he's like, call the hotline to get the, yeah, okay.
So like, but that like rocks. Not about like woman.
No, certainly not. Maybe, but no, it was just bullshit. And it's funny because those Ted Turner, Billionaire Ted skits would make fun of Scheme Gene for having the hotline.
I mean, rightfully so. I'm sure like there's so many like $100 bills coming in to parents because like kids are just calling that
yeah,
number.
Yeah, unfortunately they did that for a while and the next thing you know, WWF has the superstar line. You can call and talk to Jim Ross for tidbits. So fuck
God
them.
God damn you,
yeah,
Vince.
Yeah, Vince was just like making fun of him for it. They go, well, shit, that's a good idea.
To be fair though, like that was everywhere. Every single show had something similar. It wasn't just this. I remember that bullshit. I called one of those phone lines.
Oh.
Well, it was like, it was the Ninderpower hotline because I wanted to get hints.
Sure it was.
But like, yeah, that shit was just everywhere. It's just like, it is funny to me because like, it's all recorded. Like, it's such a foreign idea now that you would call into a hotline to hear like a recorded message for like $1.50 a minute.
They did that shit so much and it worked. That's why they kept doing it.
Because kids are stupid.
Kids are stupid.
Speaking of things that work, even though they shouldn't, this segment, mostly because woman would do this thing where she was always hitting on Mean Gene, trying to make him like pop, like trying to make him like fucking break character, basically. So she's like, dude, and he just gives her an unhand me, woman. And I was like, all right, I laughed so hard at that, I missed all of Rick's rant. Liz is holding a stack of Macho's bills, and this is like high school theater level prop work. I fucking love it.
Because they were ones. It's kind of hard to make it rains with ones these days. I don't know. Like, I don't know how inflation has affected
it's like,
view of $1
ha,
bills.
Ha, ha. She took half of Macho Man's money. She's so cruel. Oh, God, they're ones. Yeah. She's so cruel.
Maybe Macho, he didn't have that much money.
Yeah. No, I was just saying, but that's how you got to learn. I'm an independent contractor, okay? I don't get guaranteed funds, all right? So, like, yeah, it's not great. But I guess Lex knocked Ric Flair out at the pay-per-view, so he's no longer allowed to sit with them. Like, that's good enough. Back to the ring, it's Jerry Lynn under his mask as JL and Conan. And this is going to be something else. These are cruiserweights. So, like, and these two guys know lucha. Like, so this style is kind of new to the big leagues in America at this point. But, like, this is what normal modern wrestling is now.
And Nate's going to hate me for this. He hated me this for during when I mentioned this.
Yeah.
But JL is the coolest. That's the coolest wrestling costume I have ever seen.
Absolutely
the,
not.
The purple, hard the no. shoulder pads, the cape, the sick mask.
What was his insignia? What was that thing on his
chest? I don't
chest?
Give a fuck. He's
probably JL. Probably JL, because it's just Jerry Lynn.
He looks so cool.
No, he looks like Bible Man. Like, he has like he has this outfit where it's just like he's a friendly kind of like knockoff superhero.
Well,
like,
I happen to think...
Nate, are you trying to tell me Bible Man wasn't cool?
I happen to think Christ is very cool, like Garrett.
Thank you.
Well, she agrees with me.
I'm just saying that, like, you know, do kids find Bible Man cool?
No, but...
Right. We, God-fearing adults...
As an elevated mind with my powerful adult brain, I think JL and possibly Bible Man is cool.
Okay. I'm just, you know, differing opinions. It's fine. I'm sorry.
It was...
One day you will see the light of Quran, and like you'll understand why I don't like Bible Man.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, I mean,
and
I have heard Jerry Lynn use a racial slur, so I mean, he can still be Bible.
Okay,
Man,
okay, but... all right, hold on. Which one? No,
all of them. No.
It's bad.
I mean, he is pretending to be a lucha, but he's very much like a white dude. So, that's all right. He did learn lucha proper, so that's.
I saw that he had long, flowing red blonde, like strawberry blonde hair. That was crazy.
Yeah.
I will hand it to for the though. Yeah. I will say the cape. The cape actually did help. Like, there needs to be more capes. I didn't see enough capes in wrestling.
I was just like, this is cool. It's fun for me. Yeah.
There's
sorry.
There's more capes in lucha. Like, lucha is very, it has this thing where, like,
the masks and stuff, it very much is like they're actual like superheroes. You get that a lot in Japan too, where it's like they're playing like actual superheroes. So like, yeah, of course he looks like Bible Man.
It was, it did have a very like, I not mauve, like an eggplant Ultraman kind of look to it, which I really appreciated.
Yeah.
Indeed, and he knows what he's doing. He's an actual, like, trained luchador, as is Conan. Like, Conan came from, we saw, oh God, well, he was in WWE for a while, but he was working in Mexico. He actually now, like, runs one of the biggest federations in Mexico.
I liked him a lot. He was good.
Yeah, I like that fight a lot.
Yeah.
Great wrestler, horrible human.
Damn it. God, Garrick, you got me again.
I got you. But yeah, this match was great. Just head scissor after head scissor. I'm chanting, Lucha, Lucha. Mm. It was fucking awesome. Like, all this to say, this match is amazing, and the commentary team has no idea how to call it, basically. Which is pretty... We're just going to start seeing this issue as they continue to build out the Cruiserweight division. And, like, the audience loves the Cruiserweights, but these guys don't know how to say Hula Kinrana. They don't... So, eventually, they bring in this guy named Mike Tenay to basically teach them all the move names. And he is also, like, a weird, awkward, old white guy. But he's a guy who's a nerd about this shit. And, like, he's been to Mexico and Japan, so he, like, knows the shit. And they kind of teach him. Bobby gets increasingly racist about not wanting to say the non-American words, unfortunately. But... We'll see it happen. Case in point, they do some pinning combo. Bobby's like, I don't even know what to call that. There's arms and legs and feet everywhere, inside and out. He's like, I'm just an old wrestler, dude. I don't fucking know. But JL hits a DDT off the second rope that should do it, but it's only good for two. And they go to like a... He tries to do another head scissor like he did earlier in the match, but Conan catches him and does what's basically... There's this guy... Bob Holly, who used to do this movie, called it an Alabama Slammer. And he just slams him down out of the fucking thing for like just nothing fancy. I'm just gonna fucking hit you with the floor, basically. And it's good for three, as it should be. But yeah, that shit was fucking fun. That's another one. Like, if you don't watch all of them, go check out this one. This was definitely worth it. But Mago says, call it the Buenos Noches move, baby, because it was good night for JL. And I was like, braced for racism, and instead I was like, oh wait, no, that actually, yeah, hell yeah, Mike was hitting his Duolingo, good on you, bud. Like, it actually made sense. We love us an educated hoss, fuck yeah.
I mean, it was a Peggy Hill level of Spanish,
yeah. 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 Yeah, exactly,
too much. Like, yeah,
it really was.
It didn't sound like he was reading off a Taco Bell menu, which was more than I was expecting from Mongo. So, like, I got to give credit to credit to that.
Wow, his moves are Fresca.
Back from commercial, and holy shit, you guys got a Disco Inferno episode. I'm so sorry.
But why be sorry? I was a fan of
it,
this.
It gave me my new inspo, the Booty Man.
Well, okay. Please, don't cut to the Booty Man first, because we need to talk about Disco Inferno.
Do we not.
I will say, the greatest thing that this man ends up being known for in the long run, besides being like the WCW's go-to jobber, he's gotten burned to the ground on Twitter so many times I can't even name him. He's such a fucking asshole. You'd think that maybe he's a good dude and this is just a cringy gimmick. No, he fucking sucks that hard all the time.
Like, doing what, though? Like, what's the cringe? Or is it, like, real bad? Like, you don't want to repeat it bad?
Again, the series of this, Bitcami, like, he has terrible politics and opinions on wrestling at the same time. And he tried to get in on, like, the podcast game, because that's what a lot of, you know, oh, God. All right, look, it's different when I did it. I was never a pro wrestler, okay? I'm not a has-been. I never was, all right? That's different. So, like, they get to this point where, like, the best way to make money is to go tell shoot stories and, like, real stories from the road and shit on podcasts. So he tried to do that, but he's just insufferable. And, like, no one likes him. So people give him shit on the internet. And, like, he would just try to post through it, and he would try to talk shit, and finally, like, Cody Rhodes, the guy who's, like, the champion in the WWF right now, before that, this was years ago, like, hopped on and was just like, you fucking suck. You have always sucked. You shouldn't be giving opinions about anything because you suck, and you're a fucking jobber from the 90s. Fuck you. Like, and just, like, in as many words, and just was just burned him to the ground, and, like, that's all the rest we need to know about fucking, what's his name? Glenn Gilberti, the Disco Inferno. Fuck this guy. That could be a whole nother hate speech episode. Just fuck this guy.
So now I know why they gave him the Disco Inferno.
Imagine, imagine, if you will, being a muscular man, supposedly straight.
Supposedly.
Okay.
There's rumors. And
your job is to fight other men in an entertaining way.
Yes.
And you train for this. You take drugs for this. You sacrifice comfort for this.
You maintain a relationship with Hulk Hogan for many years.
You abuse your body. You destroy your body.
Moral injury.
I mentioned the Hulk Hogan.
A deep pain in the soul. Like, that is who you are. And you get thrown on your ass by someone called the Booty Man. Now, to me, I like the sound of that. But to someone of that pedigree, that might be a bit embarrassing.
Yeah, and then, like, Booty Man is Ed Leslie. Disco is going to do the job for Ed. Ed used to be Brutus the Barber Beefcake in his heyday. His whole claim to fame is that he's best friends with Hulk Hogan. Like, him and Hulk got into shit at the same time. They were tag team guys. They were, like, kayfabe brothers and all that. But, like, Hulk just sucked all the charisma out of this man over the years. Led to him, like, getting his face literally smashed in a hang gliding accident. So he had to get, like, reconstructive surgery and shit.
Please, Garrick, we call it more smash than Princess Diana's car.
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. Quite literally. Like, his face was just broken the fuck off. It was fucked up.
Well, good thing they focus on the booty then, I guess.
Right, they had to. But he came back. He was the Zodiac for a while. But it's just one of those things where, like, he's never going to be a big thing ever again if he ever really was. But he has to be around at all times because Hulk says so. So, Booty Man.
You can't come back from the Booty Man. Your career cannot recover from the Booty Man.
I don't think he ever did. I think booty. This is like, I think this might have been the end of it for Ed Leslie,
so,
actually.
I looked up Booty Man on Google.
Before you learned about the Booty Man.
Yeah, no.
I was going to say you're on a list now. Yeah.
No. And I searched Booty Man Wrestler, and the most predominant picture in every article about Booty Man is taken from this match when the Booty Babe kisses his butt.
Oh my God, the Booty, poor Booty Babe. Booty Babe is Kimberly Page. She's the Booty Babe. Like we said earlier, Bobby says she looks like she's wearing a feather duster, and the only babe he knows is up for an Oscar, and he's a pig. and to that I say, that'll do, Weasel, that'll do. But before I can finish wiping the tears from my face whilst thinking of James Cromwell's character development, this match is just, like, over before it starts.
It was very fast.
Disco
and
loses,
I think,
as is tradition.
rightfully so, that was fast. I was like, oh, we're watching a gimmick bullshit.
Yeah, right? And next thing you know, Booty Man is kissing Dallas Page's wife. I love wrestling.
But this match threw out some excellent quotes.
Well, it ends up like, and here's my favorite part, is like the narrative that's happening, because I don't know what's happening in the storyline in Nitro aside from the Macho Man stuff.
Yeah.
As it turns
little.
Out, this is a quote that, Tyler, you were getting ready to pull up this quote. I think we're looking at the same
quote.
We're
looking at the same quote.
It's all yours.
Hulk Hogan sent the Booty Man to the Dungeon of Doom as a spy, and the Booty Man lived as a rat for over a year.
I can't believe this. I want to know more. I'm here next Monday to learn more about the Dungeon of Doom.
When the Booty Man came out, one of the announcers said, "The Booty Man is in excellent condition," and I lost my fucking mind.
Right? Like, all these are sentences that they have to say. It's their job. Like, you have to say this out loud. Oh, my God. No, they're retroactively trying to make sense of why he was the Zodiac in the Dungeon of Doom for a year, and it's like, well, he was a spy for Hogan, and really, it's just like, it wasn't working. So now you're the booty man, and if this doesn't work, you're
my
you're
real identity
fired.
Was the booty man. Yeah,
listen here, listen here, Zodiac. I've seen your true soul. I know who you are.
Booty man.
I'm the booty man.
Holy fuck! Yeah.
How embarrassing for the Dungeon of Doom.
He got by a booty man. Yeah. Oh my god, but y'all, I'm so excited for you guys, because not only did you get Disco Inferno Day, you got an American Males episode. You get the experience of the greatest theme song ever.
I learned something with this match with Lex Luger and Sting versus the American Males.
Yeah.
It's that Sting didn't always just steal the Crow's makeup.
No.
He used to have color on his face. That's very interesting to me as a Crow lover.
Yes, he used to be bleach blonde. You're seeing him mid transformation. It's like Red Dragon, where he's got Philip Seymour Hoffman tied up and he's like, the change, do you see? he used to be Surfer Sting when he first, because Sting's a veteran at this point. He first came in like the mid 80s and he had bleach blonde hair and that makeup, and he was bright neon colors, and he had like a surfboard, and he was Surfer Sting, bro. And he's trying to get out of it. Basically, the real reason is, it turns out, is he started to lose his hair. Like, his hairline, much like mine, from years of bleaching it, like, real hard to keep that bleach blonde, started to, like, not grow back as heavy, and he was like, fuck, I don't want to lose all my hair.
Yeah, this is before they invented turkey, so...
Yeah, exactly. this is before they invented hymns and various new ways for cis folks to get HRT, but it's harder
right.
Yeah.
Like, before all that, he grew his hair out to brown. He doesn't know what to do with himself, because he's still, like, Surfer Sting, but he doesn't look like Surfer Sting, and it's going to be a big deal story where he becomes Crow Sting. Like, that's one of the bigger things to happen. It's coming up. Where we are already beginning down the path towards Crow Sting at this point.
Yeah, because this was 96, and the Crow came out in 94, and it kind of had built the cult following.
You're so bitter. Right. Yeah.
I am bitter. I love the Crow, and he's stealing Brandon Lee's valor. There, I said it. I got my gripe out.
There you go. Gripe it up. Hate speech. Yeah. Here you go.
I
mean, Brandon Lee, yeah, you shouldn't actually steal from that one. He gave all.
Yeah, he gave all there.
Brandon Lee gave all, yeah.
But there's a lot of backstory about how they came up with that. But, like, they very clearly, like, yes, they were ripping off the Crow. Like,
and that's fine. Like, the Crow rocks.
Well, and he did such a good job, and his Crow Sting character became so iconic that the guy who invented the Crow was like, no, that's fine. You got it. Like, he understood that Crow Sting is like almost canon in the fact that, like, it's just Sting died and he came back as the Crow, like,
yeah,
just like a crow would in my book. Mm-hmm. Like,
right,
a guy died and came back as the Crow, so as far as he's concerned, Sting Crow is canon. Like,
all right, here's my one Sting question.
All right,
what is that bit where he pulls up the Sting mask and he's wearing the Sting makeup underneath it? What is that about?
That is one of my favorite Sting bits.
Do you know this bit, Nate?
Absolutely not.
So there's, oh my God, it's a gift. It's one of the best gifts ever.
Is it like sunglasses under sunglasses kind of thing?
Kind of, yeah, okay. Exactly that.
It becomes this thing where, like, because he like hides in the rafters and shit, and then, like, people will, and he, like, doesn't wrestle or talk for like a year, right? So he's just scaring people by, like, you never know when he's going to show up at the baseball bat and kick my ass, you know, sort of thing. So, like, it became this fun thing where, like, there'd be people. I see showing him.
Yeah, I'm showing him.
So there'd be people wearing the Sting mask in the crowd, and then
he does it all the time.
He's done it like three or four times. It's a reoccurring bit. But the first time is because it was almost like the V for Vendetta thing, because like people would wear the Sting mask, and then Hogan would get all paranoid and like rip the mask off of people planted in the crowd so he wouldn't get sued. And they'd be like, oh, it's not actually him, blah, blah, blah. So it was like a, they'd be like, okay, well, it's just someone in a Sting mask trying to freak us out. So then he removes the mask and it's actually him.
I fucking love wrestling.
It's so good. It is like, it makes sense in the moment, but out of context, it's like, what the fuck?
I kept seeing that gif and I'm like, what? Have I been wrong? Have I been wrong my entire life? The answer is yes. Yeah. Yes, I have been.
Yes, wrestling really when, is that good.
When James O'Barr can forgive Sting for stealing the crow, I can forgive Sting. Sting, I forgive. No, Sting, you're probably bad. I'm not falling down this. Okay. I'm not falling in this trap again.
As far as I know, except for the fact that he's still friends with Ric Flair, all the shit that Sting did bad, he has made amends for and has more or less been forgiven.
Okay,
he,
LGBTQ community tentatively forgives Sting.
I should hope so. There's so many of us queer Sting fans. Like, we kind of have to at this point. Like, he's just so... He shows up and serves cunt for a year. That's what he does. Like, he just shows up silently smoldering at you and making you scared with his presence. Like, that's the gayest shit I've ever heard. I freak people out by existing all the time. It's amazing. But, yeah, no, Sting. So, there you go. In the meantime, this match is good enough. The Sting is currently stuck in this thing where he's the babyface and Lex Luger is the asshole heel, but they're champions. It's actually been kind of funny in the build-up to this. They won the championship and they keep winning because Sting will get distracted and Lex will do a heel thing and cheat and win without the ref or his tag team partner seeing it. Mm-hmm. It's a funny little joke for a bit. But, like, it's wearing on me. And it's a fun enough match. Luger looks pleased with himself. He high-fives his best friend, smacks his titty for good luck, you know. the usual.
Just guy stuff, yeah.
Just guy stuff. Locker room talk, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So hang out with the American males.
Yeah.
American males. Come and get you. Yeah. So their theme song sounds like a Trey Parker, Matt Stone making fun of a 90s wrestling theme song.
Yes, it does.
Fucking so good. So Bagwell and Sting have fun. I guess Sting's like a mentor of his. That's the first I've heard of it. But they start to give us a little bit of story here, which is kind of great because, like, oh, they're having a good, respectful time. And then Lex comes in and just beats the shit out of him like an ass. Like, just goes extra and pisses him off. And it's moving for the Odd Couple story. There's not much to it, though. Eventually, Sting hits his crossbody for the three. Huge crossbody, I'll give him that. Lex wants to leave right away because he's a heel.
He's
a villain. So Sting raises the male's hands to show respect. They're American. They're males. We gotta love them. It was a nice.
It's government mandated now again.
Now we have to love the American.
We have to love the American males now.
Jesus Christ! I don't want to. You can't make me.
Only if they're wearing that like cool cross earring.
Only if they look like those American males. Yeah.
I'm gonna get my tits frosted.
Yeah. If you look like Lorenzo Lamas from Renegade, we love you.
Yeah.
So some things never change. That's great. But, you know, nice little filler match. Next, we get Giant versus Nature Boy for the main event, which is going to end with a mess. There's no way it doesn't end with bullshit. There's no fucking way, because I'm like, what is this match going to be? I can't imagine these two working in a way that makes any kind of sense.
It was so nice seeing, like, Ric Flair be this awful, like, mean piece of shit in his promo halfway through the show. And then for this entire match, he's begging and pleading and crying not to be stepped on.
And that's why he's the best to ever do it. Much as I hate him.
I was like, God damn, this guy, like, you can't beat a guy who's, what, 7'4"?
They say. He's more like 7 foot. But yeah.
Right. But still, it's like, God damn, that was such a good, effective bit.
Right? He's Captain Insano. What do you do against Captain Insano? So, like, Rick comes back out with the girls, and he's trying. They give away the money, which I think is pretty great. But we're getting into the, like I said before, it's my favorite era of Macho Man, because he tries to jump him and gets held back. He's the unhinged Hoss Savage. Modern fans would recognize this as what Hangman Adam Page is currently going through. Burning down a home, cowboy shit. Like, real fuck it all. I want my fucking revenge. So this is good. We get the first tell of Nitro parties, which is going to become a thing where they send, like, a guy... They send literally the voice of Tony the Tiger, Lee Marshall. It becomes a, like, roving reporter for Nitro, and he calls in over the phone, and he's like, I'm at a Nitro party, we're doing shots, and, like, it's so ridiculous. But Eric says that Jeff Krueger and Cody Wyoming is having a Nitro party, trying to make it seem like this is, like, an organic thing that the fans did. Wait, I'm getting word Eric Bischoff now resides in Cody, Wyoming, and probably knows Jeff. Okay, cool. I love this shit. They're all fucking full of shit, and it's amazing. And at the time, I love watching this shit with hindsight, too, because at the time, people would be like, oh, wow, that's cool. Now I'm like, wait, Cody, Wyoming? I know that. That's where fucking Bischoff lives. Fuck you, Eric. It's probably like your second cousin or some shit. Like, hey, fuck you. Meanwhile, this match that I do not know what to expect from is just kind of happening, and it's really great. Like, Rick tries to shoulder block him and just bounces.
Anytime he tries something, the giant just lifts him over his head and throws him down.
Fuck you.
That's kind of what I thought the Undertaker would be. Like, because when you said, like, oh, like, that's a proper no-sell, where it's not only, like, this hit does no damage. It's like, I'm going to get madder because of this.
Yeah.
Like, he's like the fucking Hulk. It. Yeah, he's like actual Hulk. Like, the Hulk, not Hulk.
Right, right.
Yeah, not Terry. Fuck you, Terry. He's like, brother, I heard you. Yeah. You calling me out? It's my time. I'm running in. But no, that's how Undertaker should be. And like,
right. This annoying little fly is buzzing around my head.
Like, at one point, he gets him down on his knees and keeps hitting him, and Giant, like, throws him off with just one hand.
Yes.
Just pushes him off. And I was like, this is great shit.
And, like, the Giant climbs up on the top rope and fucking jumps on him. It's like,
that's scary for a big guy. Yeah. He should be up there.
He's only done it, I think, twice that I remember. He did it once before, and every time people lose their minds because, like, yeah, you shouldn't be up there. You're too big for that. And, like, even if he didn't move, you would have missed him because, like, if he extends the full splash, that's, like, the size of the ring, you know?
And it's, like, all those guys rush up on him, and he just, one by one, lifts them up and throws them down. Yeah. It's so fucking badass.
Because Rick tries all of his heel shit. He tries to get, like, woman to choke him. He gets, like, a piece of cord to choke him out with and shoves it back in his pants like you do.
Which,
you know?
I enjoyed. This is all new to me, right?
Yeah, this is all brand new.
I don't know Ric Flair shit. And, like, him just kind of, like, stashing, like, this, like, chain in his, in his crotch. I'm just like, they'll never know. They'll never know that there's a chain there. Me.
Yeah, no, that's the heel
ref's,
shit.
The ref's too busy talking to woman. What a stupid ref.
Yeah,
woman.
Right?
She's allowed to do that because she's not in the ring.
Exactly. Yeah, that's Bobby's logic. Well, yeah, she's outside there. She's on the apron. It don't count. Fuck you.
Checks out to me.
Yeah, well, Bobby will always cape for Ric. Ric Flair is Bobby's guy. They have history. Like, Ric Flair is Bobby's guy. Whenever Ric Flair is a babyface and technically Bobby is supposed to be against him, he just can't. Like, he can't bring himself to be mean to Ric Flair. It's his fucking boy. But yeah, sure enough, it's a clusterfuck. He's not going to beat him. He's a giant. So, you know, Arn Anderson comes up and hits him with a chair to defend his friend. And, like, these guys are theoretically aligned at this moment. Like, the Dungeon of Doom and the Four Horsemen. So the Four Horsemen is like Ric Flair's guys. And that's, like, Arn Anderson, that shop teacher-looking dude. And then you got the Dungeon of Gooners with fucking Taskmaster and the Giant and basically all the freaks, you know? And they're supposed to be together. So Arn, though, like, throws the chair to Taskmaster like he did it.
Which was funny.
Shit.
Yeah.
I love they pull that off.
And the Giant just fucks him up. And then he turns around, points at the other guy. He's like, I know you did. Just fucks him up.
Yeah,
it's so good.
You up too. It's so good. This, finally, the Giant's like, he has this King Kong moment where he's like, I am done being played with. Mm. And he just destroys everyone. So, like, as far as a clusterfuck Nitro ending goes, not a terrible one. Like, that really pleased me.
No, it was fun. Like, it was like Looney Tunes shit. I loved that.
Yeah, exactly. You
Like the whole bit of just like, no, he did it. Like I was like, yes, this is entertainment.
Yeah. This is how we do it.
Yeah, we're doing a show right now. Learn something raw.
Yeah, learn something raw. Exactly. And like that's old school shit. Like everything in that match was old, like carny wrestling tricks. Yeah. All the heel shit, the hiding in his pit, all that is like the stuff that they've done. The switching it out is a thing that's been done. One of my favorite guys to do it, Eddie Guerrero, later in his career, he gets this thing where his whole thing is to lie, cheat, and steal, right? Yeah. Like he's going to win by any means necessary. And he's doing heel shit, but people love him for it because he's like, Like cartoony, like you said, it's just like, ha ha, I got him. So one of my favorite things he ever would do is he would get a chair and then like smack it, like make the sound, and then
he got hit
behind the ref's back, and then he would throw it to his opponent who would catch it, and then he would throw himself down like he got slammed, and that would get the ref's attention to turn around. And be like, oh, fuck, you hit him with a chair. And then you win the match.
I get that shit isn't like sports entertainment technically. Right? Like, you know, it's like nobody's really going to get hurt doing that. But like, to me, as someone who's new, who might be like tuning in for the first time on TNT, right? And just seeing like, oh, what's this about? Like, I loved it. It was great.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and like, I don't know how old that stuff gets. Right?
But yeah, like, exactly.
Timeless to me. I don't know.
But stuff like that is timeless because you still get it. Like Eddie Guerrero was doing that bit I described in like 2005. So it's like this. It's what's great about wrestling is the shared continuity, not just of the stories, but of the skills and of the tricks of the trade, so that you get stuff like that, and then someone doesn't do it for a while. And then they pull it out, and it's like, oh, shit, that's great. I forgot how great that is, you know? And you can get whole generations because you get new people who aren't aware of it, who, like you said, that you watch this, and you're like, that was fucking funny. And it's like, yeah, and it's tried and tested, you know? It's time-tested. It's been great since people were doing it in carnivals, you know?
Well, and like, the other thing about this fight, too, that I really appreciate is it was my first real, actual, like, big guy overpowering fight.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
because,
like, the thing about The Undertaker that doesn't quite work for me is that, like, yeah, he would no-sell the hits, right? But then he would just, like, also just kind of do his basic moveset.
He didn't have any power moves, you know?
Well, and there's no, like, strong reaction to it, too. Like, the cool thing about this fight is, like, the annoyance that the giant was selling on his face.
Yeah.
Like, there was actual acting that was happening from the giant.
Yeah, just and nobody begs. Nobody begs not to get their ass kicked like Ric Flair. And, and so you get the combo of both of them doing a really good job. And it was a fun match from something I was not expecting to be any good. Like, it was actually really, really great. Yeah. And a hell of a way to end Nitro, like, way better than... And that was the go-home Raw. That was the last Raw before WrestleMania. That's supposed to be, like, one of their biggest shows of the year. And, like, it was okay. There wasn't a lot going on, and I did not have nearly as much fun as I did for Nitro. But, yeah, fuck, we did it. We got through both episodes, guys. Well,
we
done.
Did it. Yeah.
So, I have...
I was here the whole time. I never left to pee.
I never saw. I didn't see shit. I don't know. I don't know.
There's some like water, I think, leaking in.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But I did not see shit. I saw a little piss. I didn't see any shit. But thank y'all for putting up with 2 hours of 90s wrestling. I hope you go back for more and that I continue to sicken your minds. A few more questions, though, as I like to ask guests. Did you have a favorite match of the week?
I like the Ric Flair one, actually. Like, the more I kind of sit with it, the more that it feels timeless. In this kind of prototypical match could have happened at any time in history of, like, small, cowardly guy fights big man. And, like, yeah. No, I understand wrestling now.
I got a lot from most of them. I agree with what you said. But it was nice... for the first time in my life, to actually see the Macho Man fight. I had never seen a Macho Man match before. That was a lot of fun. Apparently, the guy can just do that, and that's cool as hell. But my overall favorite, I don't know. I It's either the Conan JL match or the Bret Michaels match.
Bret Hart versus what's his name?
Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels.
The opening one. They squished all these
ponytail long hair guys. They all look the same to me.
That's fine and not racist. It's true.
I was like, oh my God. Like, I could get why some people would joke that this is gay, but when I saw Shawn Michaels do his little twirls, out with the camera and the chaps, it's like, fellas.
He ends up posing in Playgirl, and like Bret Hart turns heel at one point and like straight up calls him like gay, basically, like, I think you're kind of fruity. I think you're some sort of quirk. And like, they play it up, and then like him and Hunter like play up this thing of them maybe being bi, you know, right. But not really. And it's funny because like IRL, they're a bunch of queer phobes. Like Shawn Michaels is a born again Texan Christian asshole. Right. Like Paul's probably a fucking Nazi. Like, so like,
it's, but then again, like, Val protests too much, right?
I mean, yeah,
like,
maybe they're
overcompensating for something. Like,
exactly. It's also toxic and masculine. You know, like, yeah, I don't know what to do with that.
I think I liked Nitro a lot more because it was more trashy and honest and not built around Vince McMahon, which you feel like. Every bit of Raw is Vince McMahon because he's talking throughout all of it, and it's all about him and what he's doing.
And it's all clearly coming from his psyche.
Yeah. Whereas, like, Nitro is just... It's like, what the fuck is going to happen next?
Even the audience in Nitro was, like, more into it and more just kind of, like, people that you would see in these towns. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the tickets were probably cheaper. Like, it wasn't a traveling show, right? Was my impression like they don't take Nitro on the road?
They do. They travel city to city. They'll do house shows in between, but then it's a different city live every Monday.
Okay. Never mind then. That's... But like, you know, it just the energy was more like real.
Yeah, and it was live. Monday Nitro or Raw wasn't live yet at this point. Raw is still taped, except for like once a month they do a live one.
The Nitro story, such as it was, felt a little more organic and built in and not forced as much as Raw. And it was so schlocky and so trashy that it was just, that's extremely my shit.
Yeah, well, I think we're all in agreement on who won this week. It was Nitro. And I think it's because Raw... How did you put it? Raw was trashy and dishonest, whereas Nitro was trashy and honest.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's
exactly.
The difference. Like,
it didn't have the sheen and artifice of trying to be something it wasn't.
I want my wrestling to be a little trashy, and that's why I like Nitro so hard.
And the guys had big foreheads. Like, I'm sorry, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, fucking... Hamilton, Harsley, Hemsley, whatever, Triple H, you're all too pretty. You're too pretty and too beefy. The fucking Belfast Beater or whatever.
Bruiser.
Yeah, the Belfast Bruiser looked like a fucking... He looked like just a guy who was like a big, meaty guy. Like, he wasn't over-pumped. I'm sure he was... He was overpumped, but
was it the singlet?
He was an ugly big guy, and it fucking rocked. He didn't look like Triple H, who was a little dandy. Vega without the mask. He was not.
Vega without the mask is going like, to fucking stick I, with me for I like Triple
my,
H
My wrestlers to be big, weird, ugly guys who've been pumped full of every goddamn chemical. They don't need to be pretty. I don't care.
They don't need to be muscular. Like, I like the, like, kind of, like, layer of fat, the protective fat.
Yes.
That helps you. Because, like, we know they're strong. It's fine. Yeah. We don't need to see, like, zero fat, rippling muscles.
Yes, so, Vader's is a big, fat guy, but also will rip you apart with his bare hands because he's
exactly,
strong.
Exactly, yeah.
Like Kingpin.
Exactly, yeah. I don't need all my wrestlers to look like fucking Kumail in the Eternals now. It's weird. God. I don't need it.
Yeah, but that's what Vince wants, damn it. And there's nothing strange for us to, like, read into about that at all.
Not a thing. Not a thing.
Not a thing. And it won't show up in court.
Okay, I got to change my answer. I'm sorry. Yeah. Gold dust.
Goldust.
That wasn't a match.
That wasn't a match.
There was a fight happening within me.
Yeah.
Who won?
I won. Match of the week was your sexuality versus Goldust. Yeah. I can't think of a better thing to end on. That's amazing. So please, thank you, folks. Let our listeners know where they can find you and thus me for one episode.
Yeah, you can find us on any podcast platform, and you can listen to it on YouTube as well. It's called Hate Speech Podcast. We know how that sounds.
It's the good kind of hate speech.
Where we and sometimes a guest, Garrick was a very lovely guest, sure. Talk about something that we hate. Sometimes we hate the thing. Sometimes we don't hate the thing. We try to make you hate the thing. Some things like, you know, coffee, big trucks, the musical Hamilton,
Hitler.
And in my case, Mark Calloway. Yeah,
yeah, The Undertaker. So we'll tackle pretty much just about anything. Slide into my DMs. I'll slide into your DMs. We'll find something.
Indeed. And where should... Oh, hold on. One second. Babies. This is the fourth time I'm going to have to edit you, and I don't appreciate it. Come here, babies. Come be babies. Yep.
So you can find us on all the socials.
Hate Pod?
Yeah. So on Twitter, we noticed that a bunch of right-wing chuds stole the @.
Can you believe
Speech
it?
Pod.
I was surprised.
Years ago and then never used it. So it's the letter H, the number 8, Speech Pod on Twitter, if you still do that. Or there's hatespeechpod.bsky.social. You can follow me, bearnurse.bsky.social, or Nate's on there.
Yeah, Buttzilla on Bsky. Just going to look for that one.
Yeah.
I don't use that Twitter.
We're all over the place. You can support us at patreon.com/hatreon. That's... We're out there. We're hate speeching.
Yeah, you'll find it.
Oh, you're hate speech. I love that both your Blue Sky handles are like basically your wrestling gimmicks. You got Baroness and Buttzilla. Mm-hmm. You know,
like, yeah,
like
the new American males.
Yeah. I'm surprised you can go with Booty Man.
I could change it.
Bootyzilla, there you go. You're the final form of Ed Leslie. Well, thank y'all for hanging out. That was a blast. And thank y'all for listening. Go listen to Hate Speech. It is super fun. And you can continue to find us on Blue Sky, because it's the only thing I do socials-wise, at mnffpod.bsky.social. You can no longer find us on Instagram. It's still there, but I will not be updating it. And if you want to join, you can join the Patreon at patreon.com/mnffpod. We'll be doing lots of watch parties of pay-per-views. You two are invited to those now. Yay.
Ooh, hell yeah.
Do the Mystery Science Theater talking back at Matlock thing at the various 90s grabs. It's a fun way to bridge the gaps so everyone listening along can get the whole story if they want. Because, like, in between these Mondays, there's, you know, big pay-per-views. So that's where to find that. And, overall, just help support me making the show. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm a new patron. I subscribed.
Hell yeah, you did. I saw that. Thank you very much, Tyler. I'm happy you're here. There will actually be content coming soon, I promise. There's a lot of stuff there already.
Us too. We're going to do that too.
We swear, yeah. There's a lot of stuff there. I'm only behind on one pay-per-view, but I'm like 6 weeks behind on that pay-per-view. It will be coming out with all the other ones, probably. That's what I'm doing this weekend. I'm just
as your latest shareholder, you better step on it.
Oh god damn it, I got shareholders now. Fuck. Oh, look at what capitalism has wrought. But otherwise...
I was trying to channel my inner Vince McMahon and like try to put the pressure. Nope, never mind, we're not doing that.
Nope, are I'm you not... you're nope. trying to put I... me out of business, damn it. But we will see the rest of you next time. For more Raw versus Nitro on Monday Night Fake Fights. Okay, bye. Yeah,
that's the end of that. Goodbye.
Ghost Coast Studios. Thanks for listening.